We are looking at, continuing to look at, the 10 most misunderstood words in the Bible. Today we're going to look at the gospel. What is the gospel? Now, a lot of these words, you might think, well, why is anyone misunderstanding them? I mean, like last week we looked at everlasting. Who could misunderstand what everlasting means? But there are people who don't believe that everlasting is everlasting. So, therefore, it's misunderstood. Like I said, we're going to look at the word, the gospel. Everyone knows what the gospel is, right? You're allowed to express your opinion here. What do you think the gospel is? Fred, what's the gospel?
Good news.
Can you elaborate on that? Good news about what? About Jesus. Okay. Yeah. The death and burial and resurrection. Okay. Anything else? Edward, what do you think? What's the gospel?
Loving God.
Loving God. Okay. As a sign, someone's going this way, one's going the other way. Which direction do we go? What is the gospel? There's confusion about what the gospel is. Of course, the word gospel is evangelize. It's used zero times in the New King James Version. Not once in the Old Testament. Interesting. 106 times in the New Testament, translated good news or the good message. I remember hearing a story that in Greek times, or may have been even when the marathon was 25 miles, the guy ran 25 miles, to tell the Greek city of Marathon that the soldiers had won. He would come running from that 25 miles. We got there, he would have said, Evangelizame, Evangelizame, good news, good news. Nikros, Nikros, say it in Greek. Victory, we have victory. Now that would have been great news to those people, because if they had lost the battle, they would have lost their homes, they would have lost their freedom, they would have come and plundered everything they had, and they would have taken their women and children off into slavery. So that was great news to those people hearing about this particular message. Like I said, the gospel is good news, as Rev said. Now we have to ask, good news about what? It's the good message concerning what? Now, various uses of the term, we find that the gospel has to be distinguished. So there's the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew 4:24, Mark 1:14, John the Baptist and Jesus came proclaiming the good news, the gospel, and told them that they needed to believe in it and repent, speaking to Israel. There's also the gospel of Jesus Christ, someone mentioned, the Son of God. In Mark chapter 1, he starts off, this is the gospel about Jesus Christ. All right. Paul in Romans says, calls it the gospel of God, the gospel of his Son, the gospel of Christ, and the gospel of peace. In 2 Thessalonians, he elaborates even more. He says, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then there's the gospel of the glory of God in 2 Corinthians 4:4. And there's this thing called the mystery of the gospel. Then there's the gospel of the grace of God in 2024. A lot of times you'll just see the word the gospel, this gospel. Paul says it's my gospel. In Galatians, there's what Paul calls a different gospel, another gospel. What is that? So we have to distinguish. When we're talking about what is the gospel, what gospel are we talking about? Now, it's interesting. The word gospel is not found in the gospel of John, the word, except for maybe in the title. Let me see, in my Bible, if you go to the titles of the books, if you went to the beginning of Luke, let's see what mine says here in the Ryrie Study Bible. Go to the very beginning, and it just says, what does it say? Oh, it says Luke, and then the outline says, the outline of the Gospel of Luke. Okay, now if you go to John, okay, we look at John chapter 1. Very beginning. I don't know what your Bible says. Mine just has the title John. And then Ryrie says the outline of the Gospel of John. the gospel according to John. So there are four gospel accounts. There's only one gospel, but there's four gospel accounts. Now, the titles are not part of the original writings. Okay, they came without titles. The gospel is not mentioned in the Gospel of John. The message of life is not called the gospel. What was the message of life? He who believes in me has everlasting life. That is the message of life. But that's never actually called technically the gospel, even though we would say that's great news, right? Now, we are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What gospel? And then we find out the disciples, these apostles, they went out and they preached the gospel in Jerusalem and in Samaria and Galatia, the uttermost parts of the world. Later on, Peter says, reminding those who we're writing to many years later, that he tells them the gospel was preached to you. It was commanded. They fulfilled that commandment, and people believed and accepted the gospel. Now, in Mark 1:15, we are told that Israel was to repent and believe in the gospel. Paul was sent, he said, to the Gentiles so that they should hear the gospel and believe it. The whole book of Romans is the explanation of Paul's gospel, his gospel. It's the gospel of Christ, is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Okay, everyone who believes. Now, what is the gospel that is to be preached and to be believed? Question is there a difference between the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of Christ, or the gospel of the grace of God? Are these different gospels? Is this different good news? Let's look at some of the various uses of the word gospel. The first one that we want to look at is the birth of John the Baptist. This was a good news. An angel came and answered to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Gabriel came and said, who stand in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you glad tidings, good news. So he's telling him good news. Is that the gospel? Yes, that's good news to him. Of course, we all know about the birth of Jesus. The angels came and spoke to the shepherds. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, and behold, I bring you good tidings, great news of great joy, which will be to all people. So the announcement to John the Baptist's father and to the shepherds was great news. That's the gospel. The coming of the kingdom is good news. Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among them. This good news that he's referring to, the announcement of the kingdom of God, which was drawing near to Israel, which Israel needed to believe in the Messiah and also repent of their sins as conditions for receiving this kingdom. Those were the conditions for believing or having the kingdom come, is that they needed to believe in the Messiah and repent of their sins. That was good news for them. Now, Paul talks about the mystery of the gospel. What's that? He says, for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. This good news concerning the death and resurrection of Christ was not unknown in the Old Testament. In Isaiah and on the Psalms, there's many references to Christ's death and resurrection. The mystery he's talking about is the mystery of the church, the Jews and Gentiles together in one body. That was what was unknown in the Old Testament that was then revealed in the New Testament. That particular truth is good news. So that's part of the gospel. There is the sharing in the gospel. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, the Philippians, always in every prayer of mine making request for you with all joy for your fellowship or your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. What Paul is referring to here is the good news, the gospel of the Philippians, financially participating or sharing in his ministry of evangelism and discipleship. So that's the use of the word gospel in that context. Then in Revelation, there's called the everlasting gospel. John says, I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, bird or whatever's flying through the air, proclaiming the everlasting gospel, saying, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. This good news here is that all who do not fear God and worship him will be judged. This is the last call of grace to the world before the personal return of Christ in judgment. So probably wasn't good news to those people who did not fear God, who were about to be judged, but it's good news to us knowing that Christ is going to come and he's going to take rightful rulership of his kingdom against those who are fighting against him. Now, there is what's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. This gospel is most often refers to the good news about Jesus Christ concerning all that he is and his person and all that he has accomplished and will accomplish. That's the gospel concerning Jesus Christ. This is the most often reference to the gospel. And someone said, the gospel is about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The good news which Paul proclaimed included the message concerning Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And we see that described in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says here, for moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you were saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And for I delivered you, this is the gospel he delivered to them, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, that is Peter, then by the 12, and then continues on by saying he appeared to 500. This was to them a proof of his resurrection. Now we must recognize that this is not the entire gospel concerning Jesus Christ. Okay, you want to go proclaim the gospel, yes, it includes the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but this is not like a little definition of the gospel. The gospel includes more than that. Also, it does not contain really enough information for an unbeliever to know what to do to be born again. It tells us about what Jesus Christ did. He died and rose again. But doesn't tell that unbeliever what to do. What Paul is not saying, he's not telling unbelievers, okay, you unbelievers, this is what the gospel is. That's not his purpose here in this passage. What he is doing is Paul is telling the believers the good news of their own personal future bodily resurrection, which some were now in doubt about this. That's why he's writing this chapter, that they then must hold on to this truth, this good news about their bodily resurrection, if they are to then rule with Christ in the life to come. That's what his purpose here in describing the gospel here. There's also the gospel is the kingdom in baptism. It includes more than just about the death and resurrection of Jesus. It also includes about telling people about the kingdom and of baptism. Proclaiming the good news included preaching Christ, of course, and then after initial faith has been initiated, it also included information about the kingdom, baptism, and even in the call to discipleship. Here's a couple examples. We find in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. Then Philip, who was called the evangelist, the proclaimer of the good news, in Acts chapter 21:8, he went down to the city of Samaria, and there he preached Christ to them. He preached the gospel, death and resurrection. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and in the name of Jesus Christ, and both men and women were baptized. Now we assume that he must have mentioned something about baptism, otherwise why would they ask him about being baptized? Okay? So in his message about the good news of Jesus Christ that included about his death and resurrection, but it also included things concerning the kingdom of God and the baptism. Later on, Philip spoke to the Ethiopian eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the scriptures. The eunuch was reading in Isaiah. He read a passage, didn't know what it meant. He's going to explain it to them. So he preached Jesus to him about the death and resurrection. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See here, water, what hinders me from being baptized?" Again, he must have mentioned something about being baptized. Now, baptism isn't a requirement for salvation, despite what some people think. It's a requirement for discipleship. So the good news that he preached included preaching Christ and also continuing on in that discipleship. The good news about Jesus Christ looks back to Jesus' birth, his sinless death of the cross, the burial, bodily resurrection, his appearance, and even to his ascension to heaven, being placed at the right hand of the Father. So the gospel in Jesus Christ includes all of these things. Then also it looks forward to his soon return, including the rapture, the day of wrath, the defeat of all satanic forces, his personal return to earth, and his reign forever on earth during the millennial and into eternity. All of that is the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to proclaim, I believe. Now, the good news about Jesus Christ is not the saving message. This might be a little shocking to some of you. The gospel is not the message of justification, sanctification. Eternal life is given to those who believe in Jesus and his promise, not by believing in the gospel. Now, believing in the gospel is important, but it's not the precise object of our saving faith is the person of Jesus Christ, not the gospel. Think of this first. The good news about Jesus Christ should lead unbelievers to faith in the person of Christ and believers to continue living by faith in him. The gospel, we preach the gospel, and if the people believe the gospel, is that enough? No, that would not be enough. This gospel should then lead them to faith in Christ. If I preach the gospel, the message of life, like we have on our sign out front, Jesus says, "Surely I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Okay, someone who reads that or hears that will say, "Oh, who is Jesus Christ that I should believe in him? How is it possible that he can give me eternal life?" Well, the gospel explains the reason and the why. The gospel is the means or the reason by which someone comes to believe the message of eternal life. But the gospel in itself is not the message of life that we find in John 3:16 and 6:47. There are many people who believe in the gospel that Jesus died and rose again. Many people in Catholic churches and cults or all sorts of different denominations. If you say, "I believe in Jesus, I believe that Jesus died and rose again," and they might believe many other things about him, but are not actually saved simply because they do not believe in Jesus for eternal life, which is received freely as a gift. Maybe they believe that, yeah, Jesus died and rose again, and he is assisting me. Jesus is not the way, but he is a way, and I follow him, and I'm saved by following his way through suffering, through works, and so forth. So they believe that eternal life and salvation is earned. Now, in the Gospel of John, the so-called Gospel of John does not contain the word gospel or evangelist, though it is considered the only evangelistic book in Scripture. It contains the message of life. In John's gospel, Jesus always called for faith in himself. He said, "He who believes in me has everlasting life." He did not say, like to Nicodemus, "He who believes in the gospel has everlasting life." He did not say to the woman at the wells in Samaria, "He who drinks the gospel will never thirst again." Or he didn't say, "He who eats of this bread shall never hunger, or the gospel is the resurrection and the life. No, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me has everlasting life. Jesus did not say, the gospel is the way, the truth, and the life. But I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the object of our saving faith. Jesus, not the gospel, about Jesus Christ, is the precise object of saving faith. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that the person who believes in the gospel has eternal life, everlasting life, is saved, is justified, or will never die. Jesus, again, is the object of saving faith. The gospel is the proof that Jesus indeed is the guarantor of everlasting life to all who simply believe in him. Now, the gospel contains, I believe, the content to convince someone to believe in him. It's what we need to share with people so that they would then have confidence to put their faith in him. We find that example in the purpose statement of the Gospel of John. These are written, this gospel account, the content about Jesus Christ was written that you may believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So, wait a minute. What about this verse? We're told to believe in the gospel. The time and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel, Jesus said. However, this is referring to the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let's talk a little bit about the gospel in Galatians. There was some who were preaching a different gospel. What was this different gospel? Paul mentions in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, I marvel that you are turning away so soon, the Galatians, from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, not really another, because it's not really good news after all, if you don't believe in the true gospel. There are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Who were these people who were preaching this other gospel? Well, they were the Judaizers. The Judaizers were people who wanted to make people Jewish. They wanted to take the Gentiles who believed in Christ. Okay, that's fine, that's good and dandy, but now we want you to also be circumcised. Take on the symbol of the law and keep the Mosaic law. They said that they contained the requirements in order to be saved. However, this was contrary to what Paul preached. Paul mentions the truth of the gospel. The expression is found twice here in Galatians. And it concerns not only the message of justification, faith alone, but also the unity of the Jews and the Gentiles together in one body. So the truth of the gospel here in Galatians, he's talking about, yes, the message of faith alone and Christ alone. And it also, this gospel concerns the unity of the Jews and the Gentiles. Because not only were the Judaizers perverting the gospel of Christ, adding to it works and so forth, but they're also disrupting the unity of the church. And so what Paul was attempting to do was to remind them that not only the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news, but the unity of the church, Jews and Gentiles together, was also good news. He wanted to preserve that unity. The gospel truth, Wilkins says, includes the fact that Gentiles believers are born again and are equal footing with Jewish believers in the church, apart from circumcision and apart from keeping the Mosaic law. Now, the truth of the gospel goes beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ to its application in relationship to justification, sanctification, and church life. So you have what's considered like the gospel. Okay, there's the gospel, and then there's the gospel. It's kind of like last week, there's everlasting life, okay, and then there's everlasting life. There's the length and the depth. There's salvation, okay, according to context, there's salvation. Salvation from what? Depending on the context, salvation from this and this and this and that other thing. And then there's salvation. Think of it in that way. So there's the gospel, and then there's the gospel. Let's clear up some gospel confusion in our conclusion. there is misunderstanding about the word gospel, which greatly contributes to people not knowing what they must know and do in order to be saved. So it's important that we clarify what is it that they need to know and do. It also, because of gospel confusion, contributes to not knowing how we can tell others how they can be sure of their eternal salvation. If they simply believe in the gospel about Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, they believe that, is that enough for them to be saved? No, they also must believe not only in that, but also put their faith in the person of Christ and have everlasting life. We must emphasize that. So what is the gospel? And so in one sense, the gospel, in the big picture, it includes all of Genesis, from the creation to the new creation, from Genesis to Revelation. It's good news. But primarily, the gospel is the good news about Jesus Christ. The Christ has come and is coming again soon. What is the purpose of the gospel? The intended result of believing in the gospel is that people believe in Jesus for everlasting life. And the intended result of believing in the gospel is that believers, unbelievers, then believers, would then live for Christ, seeking to please him since he may return at any moment. So now we have perfect clarity about what the gospel is. So let's go out and proclaim it.